Blanca de la Torre Garcia appears on our podcast for the second time with an exhibition that's based in Gran Canaria, Las Palmas, Spain. The exhibition's entitled Con los pies en la tierra, with the double meaning of earth and soil for tierra, and it's the first real zero carbon footprint in shipping exhibition that I know about. I mean, perhaps there have been others, but on a grand scale like this, this is the first time I've heard of one. I hope you enjoy hearing about the themes in her exhibition, these themes which she has addressed throughout all her major exhibitions in the last few years, in all of her writings, all of her books. She's a Spanish curator and writer, and I hope you enjoy everything she has to share about her working process and her current exhibition.
You look amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, I dressed up like I said.
I love your necklace.
Well, I thought with today's topic about sustainability and indigenous societies and stuff like that, I would pull myself together, like I said. So I'm just going to read the introduction that I have here, because I think it was important that you made that distinction that it's almost impossible to make a zero carbon footprint exhibition, but yours is specifically interesting because you had zero carbon footprint in shipping.
So. Exactly. And then, of course, I've reduced to the maximum the general ecological footprint, producing everything on site, but also using only sustainable materials. I didn't use any sort of toxics or petrol-derived materials or anything like that. But a 100% zero carbon footprint exhibition, it's impossible.
Okay, yes.
You can do it in certain parts, but not the whole thing.
Not the whole thing.
Because since you enter the museum, you have a carbon footprint, right?
Just breathing, we have a carbon footprint.
Yeah, breathing, exactly. Just breathing or going to the toilet.
So. Yeah. It's impossible. But so tell us about Con los pies en la tierra at CAM, because I didn't know about this Centro Atlántico de Arte Moderna Las Palmas de Gran Canaria, Spain. I mean, it's almost like your last name. It has several. It's a super long name. Tell us about this exhibition that you curated.
Okay. So the exhibition is conceived as the second part of a broader project, mm-hmm. which had the first phase in the MOCAV, in the Museum of Contemporary Art in Belgrade, mm-hmm. in Serbia, and under the title Overview Effect, that it was referring to the concepts coined by Frank White, mm-hmm. that described the cognitive shift reported by a number of astronauts having looked back to space, I mean, from space to Earth. Mm-hmm. And we took it as a metaphor to show the encompassing view needed to understand all aspects of the eco-social crisis in a moment where we are surpassing the biocapacity of the Earth. So in this second part, the new exhibition at the CAM Museum, titled Con los pies en la tierra, right? Or with your feet on the earth, mm-hmm. we decided to shift the focus down to earth, mm-hmm. with an earthbound approach to the environmental issues, showing how this position brings us at the end of the day to the same views of interconnectedness and ecodependency. And also we have to consider that the word tierra in the Spanish language means both the planet Earth and the soil.
Yes.
So the mirroring also of these two perspectives would give deeper insight and tackle also the discourse of environmental justice. As a result also of a large project that involved not only these two exhibitions, but also a series of workshops, lectures, panel discussions, encounters with activists and theoretical events, etc.
Yes. So I like that idea about the soil as well for many reasons. You know, recently there's this whole regenerative farming movement that's going on, and I don't think it's just the right time, you know, to go beyond this idea of organic to regenerating the soil. So tell us about the first one and how it connects to this one. I know you mentioned looking from space, but how did the first one work itself out in terms of artists and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, like our goal was to develop an exhibition that speaks of ecology in content, form, and attitude. Mm-hmm. So in the first part, we established a number of guidelines in order to apply environmental practices and take care of also of the ecological footprint of the whole exhibition, of the whole life cycle mm-hmm. of the project, mm-hmm. Embracing a cradle-to-cradle and circular economy philosophy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So to do so, we kept in mind not only the carbon footprint, but also the rest of ecological footprints, right? Like hydric, electricity and all that.
Right.
And other sustainability issues that are not necessarily so visible in the materialization of our project.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, also we had almost 70 artists, as the MoCA Museum is huge, mm-hmm. and they were distributed in its 5 floors, and also in the parks surrounding the museum, and in different spots throughout the city.
Wow.
And yeah, and for the exhibition in CAM, we decided to take upon a more radical decision,
mm-hmm.
which was to refuse any sort of shipping of artworks in favor of 100% local production.
Yes.
So all the works were created on site, avoiding pollutants also and petrol-derived materials, as I was saying,
yes.
Favoring local production or reproduction of the works,
mm-hmm.
Materials from the context, using biodegradable, reused, repurposed, and recycled materials for everything. Having said so, that all that also affected the selection of the artist,
mm-hmm.
35 in this case. So it was important to select artists that not only are concerned with ecological aspects, but also with the way we produce art and culture. So I am aware that this is very challenging. It's really challenging to create artworks following all that sustainability guidelines, mm-hmm. and producing everything on site with materials from the context. So to me, it's important to work with artists that you can trust, they can deliver, and that they can improvise, solve problems easily, and give good results.
And
that's the case. Actually, we're very happy with all the artists involved here, and they did an amazing job.
Yeah. And then I liked, going back to what I first mentioned about the indigenous cultures, how does this express itself in your exhibition? How does this theme show itself? Like, which artists worked on that topic? And, you know, the environmental justice thing, I think, is really led by indigenous peoples. So how does that show itself?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to consider that the world's indigenous population mainly inhabits the most biodiverse and least deteriorated ecosystems on the planet. And besides all its diversities, indigenous communities have cosmovisions intimately linked to the earth, and they do not usually establish great differentiations between the social and natural world, or living and non-living entities, humans and non-humans, but instead comprise the planet as a holistic and living and interconnected whole. That's why I've been always interested in this also. So the cluster in the exhibition and all the artists who deal with these issues, that we try to appeal then to the need to foster new social and aesthetic practices that go beyond the modern Western system of thought, and embrace other epistemologies based on or inspired by Indigenous and First Nations people. So some of the artists who address these issues are Indigenous themselves, and some others are inspired by them. And that opens as a way of resistance also against the forms of extractivism, of territories, of bodies, of cultures that put into play the survival of entire communities and their lands, traditions, and collective memories.
Yes, yes. And this goes, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I wanted to say that also we accept the contradiction of addressing what is indigenous from our privileged white and European place of enunciation. I think it's important to say this. But we have no other motivation than the true belief that only by acknowledging and embracing this, epistemologies and belief systems of indigenous thought, we can overcome the ecocidal behavior that has led us to a break with the web of life.
You know, I mean, I'm getting goose pimples as you speak, because when we talk about allies, and when we talk about art as transformative and transformative in terms of how the planet appears and operates, you guys are really on the ground doing the work. And I really thank you for this work. I mean, whatever you get in terms of monetary payback is probably nothing in terms of the spiritual karma you've built up over the years, Blanca. So I'll go to the next theme, Watertopia, because it's a beautiful word and it encompasses all those issues again about the sustainability of the planet and about the resources, extractivism. Can you tell us how this shows itself in the exhibition?
Well, it is reflected with several works that point out to water-related problematics and the dynamics of water that are already generating major imbalances like water scarcity, pollution, availability of drinking water, sea level rise, ocean acidification, corporate control of river systems, the drying up of wells and aquifers, disappearance of sea ice, coral bleaching, depletion of groundwater, and many more, you know. Ismael Serra Geldin, the former vice president of the World Bank, mm-hmm. by the end of last century, already said that if the wars of this country were for all, those of the 21st century would be for water. So, actually, the drinking water will become one of the most valuable commodities in the immediate future, and its shortage will strongly affect the global economies. So, actually, what is expected if the climate crisis continues intensifying all the above mentioned imbalances is that some island states will have to be completely evacuated. And that we will be facing mass exoduses of ecological and climate refugees. So finally, the consequences and the impact of all these water-related problems is that they will generate a major change in global geopolitics.
I mean, just from a very small perspective, looking at what happened in America with Hurricane Ian recently and the islands of Captiva and Sanibel, you know, the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation had some damage, and you're right, it's in our little world we see it. Can you imagine in those other low-lying islands? I mean, forget about the Maldives and stuff like that, it's all gone. So the topics that you raised in the exhibition are timely and critical, and I'm just reading the question because it's easier than me to remember it. And beyond anthropocentrism and gender, race, stuff like colonial trace, can you show us how this collective future is imagined in the exhibition? How does the work that the artists have in there address these issues? Again, it's a broad topic. I know I mentioned several different things, but from a creative perspective, like the back to the future thing. How do they envision this future?
They basically navigate through utopia and dystopia. But whether they're apocalyptic visions or not, in any future scenario, I think imagination becomes a vital tool here. And that basically what we are presenting is artworks to show a path that allows us to renegotiate the possibility of a decarbonized, redistributed future without sacrifice, so let's say. So the artists here show different means with which to renegotiate collective memory and the possibility of future memories, as well as to construct other utopian and dystopian imaginaries to rethink the world we want to inhabit.
Wow. So I think I already said thank you for creating this exhibition, which for me, you know, I love these words, patriarchy, capitalism, colonialism, all those words that, you know, I'm so happy to see the models somehow dissolving in this world. But what are your plans for the next iteration in this series? Like, do you have any ideas yet where you'll do it or what artists you'll have or how you'll expand on these themes in the future?
Well, so far we will make a nice book with these two exhibitions on mm-hmm. these two perspectives, no, the overview effect and the Con los pies en la tierra. But actually somehow I am always making iterations of this in most of the shows I curate, mm-hmm. as I always like to follow these sorts of sustainability guidelines. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, during all this year, I have been curating a series of shows in Latin America with 100% on-site production too. But I also just curated the last Cuenca International Biennale. I was the chief curator.
Which Biennale? Which one?
Cuenca Biennale in Ecuador.
Okay. Yes.
In Ecuador.
Okay.
For which I also developed a sustainability decalogue. I wanted to make the first sustainable biennial somehow. And also the theoretical background was also following that line. So in some sense, I could say that all my exhibitions are iterations of the same exhibition somehow.
Yes.
But with different artists and new works made always on site, depending on each context, mm-hmm. and always in collaboration with the locals. That's very important for me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I usually spend long periods on each place. Mm-hmm. So that's it. And basically, as you were saying, what I do with my projects is examining patriarchy, capitalism, and colonialist models to dismantle them and open up paths to draw a new paradigm.
Yeah. And just as an aside, I mean, I know you for a few years and we haven't really been in touch recently, but in terms of your own personal development, do you feel that this moving around and these exhibitions have given you back what perhaps you, like for example, where are you now? You're in Spain in your home.
Yeah, I'm in Madrid right now.
Yeah, but you spend so little time there now, right? I'm sure you really enjoy when you come home, relax. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. But, since some years ago, I decided to take also that radical decision that I only travel, I only take flights for work. Mm-hmm. I never take a plane for, personal reasons. Mm-hmm. I only do it by train mm-hmm. In those cases. Mm-hmm. And only if it's, really needed. Like, for instance, in December, I'm going to have like a book launch of my next book mm-hmm. in Miami, actually. Mm-hmm. And I will not go in person either because I think I can do all those book launches and presentations online.
Right. And then when you do go, you stay a while, like you said, in Ecuador
exactly.
or wherever. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
I have a real conundrum myself because I look at my old life and how I lived. And I mean, now I have a son. But besides that, I'm like, OK, so do I go there for 3 days? Do I go there for 5 days? Do I go there for 7 days? I mean, not just the carbon footprint, but also just it's physically taxing to do all of that. And I just don't have the energy anymore.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
I do look back on those days with fondness, though, I must say. Anyways, if I go to Miami, we will surely miss you. That's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure as yet.
That sounds great.
All right. Well, is there anything else I didn't ask you that you might want to add to the discussion? I don't know if there's
Well,
something.
just thanks so much for this. It's very important to, you know, have promotion on these issues, not just the exhibition itself, but to, you know, generate collective action mm-hmm. on this, you know, climate crisis and environmental issues, because I think only joining forces, only, you know, working on this all together can, you know, start a new path to a decarbonized world.
I mean, you know, the thing is, again, you just sometimes I feel like living in America is a real challenge, because there are still people who say the climate isn't changing because of man's actions. There are still people who say if we want the economy to work, we need to get back into fossil fuels. I mean, there's this whole, while there's this movement forward to utopia, there's still this wall that you, and it's a very masculine wall, but women are also part of it, I'm sure, that says, look, you know, you're destroying our life while the planet, while we can't use the resources of the planet. I mean,
I know.
You're destroying our money. You're destroying our money.
I know. No, you're so right. But I think we have to stay positive. That's the only way.
Yeah, yeah. All right. With that, I think we will end. And thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. And thanks for making time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
Take care. Good luck with your projects. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed listening to Blanca speak about her process and her work with environmentalism in art, and I hope it inspires you to create a better world. Have a great week.